We are in Revelation chapter 3. We're in the sixth church, Philadelphia, and took time away from Corinthians. We finished 1 Corinthians, and before we went to 2 Corinthians, I thought it'd be good for us to look at the seven churches. And I find myself involved in all the churches. I feel all the churches have a word for me personally. And Philadelphia is a church that received no condemnation from our Lord. But the last church before Philadelphia was Sardis. And Jesus called the church at Sardis, he called them dead. Wow, that's pretty strong. But he gave them good news. The first good news was that there was still a few there in Sardis that had life. And they will be clothed in white and walk with the Lord in fellowship. The second thing he had to say to Sardis was a warning. And to those who are in white, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. Now, there's a lot of debate in Christian circles about falling away from Jesus or so forth, or can I turn my back upon the Lord who has saved me? But I ask you, when we became saved, did we give up our free will? No. No, we didn't. And God doesn't remove our free will when we become a believer. So we choose each and every day. Will we abide with our Lord, or will we go our own way? So why would Jesus mention the possibility of being blotted out of the book of life? We know our Lord as Savior. We know him for his love towards us. And we know that he wants to fellowship with us. But the relationship we have with our Lord is a two-way street. And we have requirements as children of God, as his disciples. And part of that is to fellowship walking in white or walking in purity before him. To enjoy this fellowship with Jesus, you have to abide with Jesus. Jesus, he told us, he says, I'm a jealous God, and I want your complete allegiance as believers for myself, for I'm jealous of your behavior. And to Sardis, he said, if you have an ear, hear what I have to say to you. The surety of our salvation is verified by if we're written in the book of life. Are you in or are you not? Or are you in danger of perhaps being blotted out? These words by Jesus are crucial to our security in him. We are written in the book of life when we come to believe and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why would we not listen to them, to Jesus, when he warns us? And I think the warning is there, don't force me to blot your name out of the book of life. Now, Jesus would not mention this blotting out unless it was a possibility. He doesn't just use words. He's giving a warning to the church at Sardis. Take care, have an ear, Sardis, that hears our Lord and Savior. And that word that he told Sardis applies to each and every believer. So let us, you and I, have ears to hear what he has to say to us. Being written in his book of life is a great honor. We're numbered, we're listed with him. Now we move to the church at Philadelphia. And so let's read Revelation 3, 7 through 13 about the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, I know your works. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. If you have a little strength, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So we'll be known. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell in the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. And then the exhortation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A little bit about Philadelphia. It was a missionary outpost, and it is the youngest of the cities of the seven churches. It was founded to spread the Greek culture and the way of enlightenment, and the Greek were known for their intelligence and so forth, and it was to spread it from Europe to Asia, which was another continent. Philadelphia had many beautiful buildings and temples and so forth, and it was known as the Little Athens, dedicated to the Olympian god or gods. Jesus will identify himself to Philadelphia, and he says, I am holy. I am truth, and I hold fast the keys of David. I open and I shut where no one else can open. Jesus, he is the keeper of the keys to the kingdom and the keys that open the doors to life. Only Jesus admits souls into his kingdom. But as we read, only he can blot out from the book of life. We hear Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and life, and that he is. Only by Jesus are we saved and enter into life. And Jesus will now reveal to Philadelphia how he knows all about them. And I might add, he knows all about you and I. He says, I have set an open door that no one can shut, and shut doors that no one can open. So it behooves us to pray for God's will in our life. Go through the open doors, that's the will of God. And if he shuts a door, well, he closed Paul off from going to different areas with a sickness. That was a closed door for Paul. But he says, you have a little strength. You've kept my word. Plus, you have not denied my name. This is a compliment to Philadelphia. They have served God in that they keep his name, and they serve God in difficult times with difficult circumstance. And Jesus is aware of their service, and he's aware of your service and mine. The open door to Philadelphia was to be an evangelistic opportunity. We are to be ready in season and out of season to declare the good news of the gospel. Now, we're not all Billy Grahams, but we all have a testimony of what Jesus has done in our life. We never know who will respond to the witness that we give. The open door to Philadelphia was opened by faith, and no one could shut it. We all have people that come and go in our lives, and we should all be faithful to give them the hope we have in Jesus. We're to be salt, we're to be light, and we're to be full of hope. We never know if the person or that acquaintance that we're talking to has been appointed to eternal life. We don't know that. Only the Lord knows. I'll tell you a little story. We had a neighbor, Lori and I, who was a young man. He was sort of a pain in the neck. His wife was a believer, but he was a hardcore case. He and his wife divorced, separated, moved away. But a little while back, I got an email from him telling me that he was now a Christian. And he thanked me for our witness to him as Christian. And I thought, well, we had him over for dinner, but I don't remember being that great witness or anything. And I was totally surprised. Jesus had opened a door to this strange young man, our neighbor, that I was not even aware of. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I was willing to give a testimony. And Jesus, by his Spirit, has opened a door to this young man, and no one could shut it. And that's the results. That's the result. Jesus opened a door for salvation, just like he opened the door for you and myself to become believers. Through and by Jesus choosing to open that door into our mind and in our hearts, we became believers. The mystery of believing is that it's a mystery. It seems like the decision to accept Jesus by faith is too big a decision for me to handle by myself, but we're all given that opportunity. The mystery of an open door in my heart and mind, I rejoice. I rejoice in the fact that I was born into a Christian family. A lot of the things that separate some people from believing, I never had to deal with. I always believed the virgin birth, believed that Jesus was resurrected. I didn't have any difficulty with that. But if I would have been told that as an adult man, I'm kind of cynical. I would have gone, well, raising from the dead? You know, I probably would have been a doubter. But God had opened a door in my life, and I thank him for it. So we rejoice in the grace that's been given us, the understanding into spiritual activities. The mystery of believing is our open door. We cannot explain why some believe and turn to Christ, yet others resist. You have you ever thought about that? Why do some people simply resist? Now Jesus will move into the description of Philadelphia. He just says they have a little strength, a little true and vital strength. Philadelphia, with its little strength, understood their need that God be their superpower, their strength in time of need. When we assume that we are strong and stand, I think that's when we're the most dangerous to God's kingdom. You know, realize who we are and where we come from. Philadelphia had obeyed God in the fact that they did not deny the name of Jesus. Isn't that important? Yes, it's very important. We live in a fallen world. Our silence, when others scoff at our beliefs, our silence can be a type of denial. We're not to look back at the end of the day and have regrets that we didn't stand up and declare Jesus when others were doubting. We're not to look on our missed opportunities. We're to look forward to that opportunity to declare Jesus as Lord and Savior. The church at Philadelphia, they're commended by Jesus for keeping his name and his word alive in themselves. There's no rebuke of Philadelphia. But you and I live where Jesus is the separator. He makes the difference in lives. We can speak of spiritual principles and speak of God, and it seems like no one is offended. But when we declare Jesus as the only way to God, our Father, many people are offended. And again, there was Philadelphia, there was no chastisement that they had not kept his word and not witnessed his name. Jesus is satisfied with Philadelphia in their little bit of strength. As a Christian, maybe you've witnessed this. If you haven't, you will. Our families can be our worst opponents. Family reunions can be a hard time. Have you ever heard from your relatives, we don't want to talk about politics, and no religious conversations either. And they try to put us in that category that we're already in. And they know where we stand, so they don't want to hear it. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Lori and I were invited to attend a wedding of her niece. They knew I was a pastor, so they asked me to pray over this couple that just got married. And I asked for God to bless their marriage, and I asked in the name of Jesus, knowing that there would be some that would take offense to that. But whenever I hear a prayer offered up by some religious person, I listen how they close their prayer. It tells me a lot about that person. Jesus told us, pray to the Father, pray in my name. Praying to God, little g, can be generic. Oh, most benevolent Father, I mean, come on. And that can be non-offensive to anyone. But for me, I want to hear a prayer that's closed in the name of Jesus. I look and listen for that. I offer up my prayers, and I try to always close in the name of Jesus. Jesus told us to do that. So who am I to go against that? He told us to pray in his name. That's simple enough, right? But as with my neighbor, who I thought was a hopeless case, God opened a door of salvation. And you and I, we cannot save anyone, but we can be a witness. Philadelphia was faithful. They had a little strength to proclaim Jesus, and they were a witness, and Jesus compliments them upon that. So, for us, be like the church at Philadelphia. Proclaim Jesus. Most of your friends and relatives already know where you stand. You might as well come out and admit it. There are no regrets in being a faithful witness to Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and he closes this letter to Philadelphia and he says, I promised to keep you from the hour of trial which is coming. A great promise. Jesus will reveal to us his new name. His new name. A name that we probably don't know now. So listen to what Jesus has to say. And he complimented this little church at Philadelphia because they were a witness and had a little strength. And I say to you, we all have that possibility of being a witness. So don't hide it. Be the light. You might be the only light in a person's life. You might be that only connection that they have to the living God. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we can become so timid, so weak, so easily. Give us strength. Strength from your Spirit, Lord, to stand up for what we know is right. Stand up and proclaim that you are the only way to a relationship with God the Father. You alone are Savior. You alone are God. So give us that strength we need when others are talking about religious affairs. Let us give our hope that we have in you, Lord, that you will not leave us, you will not forsake us, and you will always abide with us. That's a great hope. And Lord, you tell us that you will save us from that hour of trial. Lord, we live in a day where there's trials all around us, where there's opportunities to declare you and there's opportunities just to be silent. Help us not to be silent, Lord. Help us to be a faithful witness to you. And we pray and ask for this strength in your name, Jesus. Amen.